now come to our Bible reading, which is Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 11, and it can be found on page 1035 of the Black Church Bibles that you would have been handed on your way in. So that's Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 11, page 1035. Starting at verse 11, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to his father, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come home,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'"
Good morning. How about I kick off and pray? Dear Father, we thank you for your word that you have given us that tells us all about you and who you are and your love. I just pray that you would give us open minds, open ears to your word this morning. Amen. Well, the case of getting lost is pretty frustrating, isn't it? You know, if you're Tom Hanks on Castaway Island, or you're on your way to the Katoomba and you get lost in the western suburbs of Sydney, or just plain lost in Lismore Shopping Square, you come out of the arcade and you open the doors, and you just don't know where your car is. You know, you might know the feeling. It's pretty frustrating, isn't it? But I wonder this, if you've ever thought you could get lost at home. See, I've got a mate. He works up at a nursing home up in Alstonville. And this one particular morning, he goes off to work. It's night shift. And he does his round of the ward. Everything's just about normal. Until he gets this phone call from the nurse in the opposite ward to him. He says, "Mate," he says, "you wouldn't believe it, we've lost one. I can't find him anywhere." Anyhow, so this is, 3 a.m. They go searching for him everywhere. They search the nursing home up and down. They decide to ring the police. It gets that bad. One of the nurse, he feels that bad. He goes wandering the streets of Alstonville and he had time trying to find him. At any rate, my mate, he thinks, I might just check in his bedroom one last time. So he opens the door, he goes into the bedroom, looks around, thinks, how about I might just check the wardrobe? So he opens the wardrobe, and there he is, fast asleep, curled up in a bun. So here's a man very close to home, yet to everyone else they had him written off as lost. And you know, this is what we're going to be looking at this morning, a lost story. But look, it's not just your usual lost story, because what we'll see is two lost sons. One lost away and one lost at home. As funny as that might sound. But look, to begin with, we've got to be clear on one thing, and that's the opening passage of this talk here, that Jesus, he's talking to this real mixture of a crowd. Because you had the Pharisees and the teachers of the law on one side, and the sinners and the tax collectors on the other side. Two very different types of groups. It actually reminds me of this one time. I don't know if you can remember, it was when the City vs Country League game came to town here in Lismore. They had at Oaks Oval. At any rate, my brother, my old man and me, we turned up there. We'd driven in from Bangalore. We'd arrived a little bit late, so we just didn't get the best seats in the house. And because of that, we had to sit with this group of people, this very different group of people. This group seemed to have every Yahoo and Lismore to our liking, and it appeared to us that they'd walked out of every local drinking hole to watch this game. It was different for me, coming from Bangalore's quiet little village life, different from what I was used to going to a private school at Trinity, and here we were sitting with this crew of people that would normally have nothing to do with. And look, to begin with, it felt a little uncomfortable just being with this different group of people. Because you can imagine it, we came from different places, dressed different, just came from different sides of the track. Look, you could say I was a bit snotty-nosed, but look, after the game had kicked off and we're barracking for the same things, same team, things just seemed to get a little bit better. But in this opening scene of this passage, we do have two groups of people here. They're not gathered to watch a game of footy, but they're here to listen to a man, that man being Jesus. See if you can pick the two groups. Have a listen to the start of chapter 15, verse 1. Turn there and read with me if you like. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Can you see the two groups? You've got the moral elite on one side and the outcasts on the other side. Both here have turned up on the scene to listen to Jesus. Two different worlds have come for not your usual family picnic. But as we get started, I wonder if you've thought if you possibly could resemble one of these two brothers. If you had to name it, what brother are you most like in the parable? Do you think you're more like the younger or the older brother? Or perhaps neither, or a combination of both? What was your thought when you heard the parable? Did your heart melt hearing of the grace shown to the younger brother? Or does it rile you up hearing of this younger brother getting straight back into the family, this dull bludger? Or it might have just left you all bamboozled and confused. I know in the past I have been. But look, for now, let's look at Jesus' response to the complaint to the Pharisees and to the complaint that the Pharisees and teachers of the law have. See, they've commented that they're not real impressed with Jesus hanging with these tax collectors and outcasts. So what does Jesus do next? Is he tells the crowd a few parables, which you could say are aimed to say that his business in town is here to save and find the lost. We see this in the two parables that Jesus tells us beforehand in the same chapter. The parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. And then after this, Jesus goes on to tell us a parable about a man who had two sons in verse 11. Now this is when things get interesting, because Jesus goes on to tell the events of this second son, this younger brother. Here, the younger brother represents part of the audience, the crowd of sinners and tax collectors that were there listening. The parable starts off with this younger brother asking the unthinkable. He says, "Dad, give me my money and what you got now." He asks for what the father has, the wealth. He rejects the relationship he could have had with the father and asks just for the money. And as we all know, even today, families' estates don't get divided up until the person passes on. But like I said, sadly, this younger brother, he wants the dollars, but not the dad. In some ways, he's saying, "I'd rather you're dead." But then it's followed by the father doing something most other people wouldn't do. So he's a different sort of guy, isn't he? Because he gives his son the share. And what's the son do? He jet sets out of there. He sets off for a distant country. It sounds like he doesn't waste any time getting the first plane ticket out of Ballina Airport to the party capital of the world, which, if you haven't heard of it, is a little island off the east coast of Spain called Ibiza. It's there that the clubs are the best in the world. The beaches have white sand, the water is crystal clear, and the views are like none other. And it's where the party never ends. And it just turns out to be the best place to squander your wealth in wild living. And this is what the younger brother does. This lad, the younger brother, he goes too well at partying. Because we see it didn't take too long before he'd blown the lot. And so what's the younger brother do? Does he turn back home towards the father? Nah, he couldn't. Not just yet. He gets desperado. So he hires himself out to a fella who gets him feeding pigs. What a sight that must have been. The guy had come cashed up to town, soon finds out who his friends are, doesn't he? After he spends the lot, he has no one. Only the pigs now to keep him company. And instead of eating lobster over the water, he longed to eat the pods that the pigs ate. Instead of living it up like a king, he's living it up with what the Jews considered unclean. He's gone from the penthouse down to the doghouse. But something does change for him. He sees the great need he has. He sees his great foolishness. He finally realizes that the world hasn't given him anything, but instead has only robbed him of what he thought mattered. It was all a mirage. But what we see next is the turning point. He sees the light, and the light isn't in Ibiza, the party capital destination. He doesn't stay where he was, content in life, waking up each morning beside Pepper the pig. No, the younger brother, he comes to his senses. As it says in verse 17 there, and you can have a look if you want. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired men.'" So I reckon what stands out here for the younger brother, it's a heart change. See, once he's realized he's sinned, he doesn't let pride get in the way to admit to his father that he'd screwed up. Screwed up his relationship with him and God. It's a picture of repentance. A guy who's been travelling one way, realizes his state, so decides to turn and go back home. You know, on the way, he would have had to be wondering how his father would respond. Would he agree to put him on as a hired hand, possibly to pay back the debt he owed, so he could redo all the shame he'd caused his father and his family, so he could bring some honour back to this father and family, to do it by works, that is, to start being a good person. You know, so he could just bring something to the table. Will this younger brother put his hands back to the plough and through his hard work make right the wrong? That would be the most logical thing. That would be the most natural thing to us, wouldn't it? It would make the most sense. But what we see here must make us ask, is this father crazy? Because this is what we see happen. When his son turns back to his father's place, the father receives him again like a son. He doesn't have him work. He doesn't send him out to the fields, but receives him like a son. This is what we can appreciate so much about this parable. That he's received back by grace, and grace alone. Grace, which is the free, undeserving gift. And the Father gives him the undeserving gift of sonship. The same son who'd rejected the Father is given what he doesn't deserve. The Father gives him the ring, the robe, the sandals. To top it off, kills the fattened calf. And what's the son's reaction? Yeah, he's probably pretty shocked, but he gladly receives the Father's grace, all the undeserving gifts. And isn't this good news? It's good news, guys, that this is how our Heavenly Father treats us as well. That if we decide to turn back after rejecting Him, He'll accept us with open arms. Isn't God gracious? That there's no hint of punishment. That we're accepted by the Father by the great gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. It leaves you asking, what's the go with this elder brother? Why is he such a jerk? Why can't he just shut up, be happy, and join the party? What we've got here is a lost son at home. Look, I can't say it's the same lost story like I told you about the dementia patient that was sadly curled up in their bedroom wardrobe, but it's a story of a son, when he hears of grace shown to the younger brother, he's got a completely different response to the father. Because it ends up with him having an uproar. And hey, it's easy to look down on him, isn't it? He looks like a real jerk. But can you imagine it? How would you feel if you're in the same position? How would you feel if you're in his shoes? See, if you had a brother who'd taken half the estate, left the place and spent all the money on wild living and prostitutes, you could just ask the same. And then you find out that your father's let him back in. How would you feel? How would that leave you? And do you know what this means for him? It means he's going to have to split the estate down the track again sometime. It's crazy, it's a joke. And in this case, it pushes him to have a blow up with his old man, the father in this parable. See verses 28 to 30. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." See, for the older brother, and this Pharisee crew, sadly, they're both lost at home. While they might be at home with the father, they're actually no closer to the father than what the younger son was. They might have known the customs and the rituals. They might have known the law. But the scary thought is that they didn't know the father and reject the grace that the father wishes to offer. While grace comes as settling and comforting news to the sinners and outcasts, it surely had the opposite effect for the Pharisees and teachers of the law. To them, unsettling and uncomfortable, and it would have been fuel to the fire. See, what Jesus says to them is, you may be here, you may be clean and have it all together on the outside, but we know in other places that Jesus knows their hearts. He speaks to them and says, you're like whitewashed tombs, clean and have it together on the outside, but on the inside, your hearts are like rotten corpses. Strong words, aren't they? Strong words for the church group of people of the time. But what Jesus is trying to get across to them is that it's not by works, it's not by being a good person, but it's by grace. Grace, you are saved. That he is actually the only way. The ministry of Christ Jesus was bringing the good news. He says, I came for the sick, not the healthy. He came not for the found, but to find the lost, with the free gift of himself. But to the elder brother, the gift of grace, the sound of grace sounds scandalous. See, to them, they'd much prefer the TV show that was on a few years back. I don't know if you can remember it. It was called My Name is Earl. Any rate, the start of the story would start off with this American guy called Earl Hickey. Earl would say these words. You know the kind of guy who does nothing but bad things and then wonders why his life sucks? Well, that was me. Every time something good happened to me, something bad was always waiting round the corner. Karma. That's when I realised that I had to change. So I made a list of everything bad I've ever done, and one by one, I'm going to make up for all my mistakes. I'm just trying to be a better person. My name is Earl. See, that's what the older brother and the Pharisees wanted to hear. If you want back in, you got to work for it, brother. None of this grace thing. None of this accepted by God's grace alone. Well, have you got the picture? We've seen two lost sons. Two sons that take two different tracks in being lost. One goes down this track of self-discovery, just this track of being bad, completely away from what God's plan is. But when he's shown grace by the Father, he accepts it. The other lost son at home takes a different track. He's followed the law or a moral guide, tried to be completely good, yet still hasn't got the Father, and then rejects grace. Both ways were lost, right? So if it's not the way of being bad or the way of being really good, what way is it then? Well, this is the special bit. Would you believe it? There's a third way. And in the picture, God the Father is the true prodigal. You know, you may be aware this story is called so often the prodigal son, but actually we have a prodigal God. Because the meaning of the word prodigal is to be reckless, extravagant, and having spent everything. Now stick with me. And this is how God has treated us, but in his love, he is the prodigal God. See, at the cross where Christ was taken to pay for our sin, for our rejection of God, the Father spent extravagantly, made a payment that came at a cost, that cost him everything, his son, Jesus Christ. To see him nailed to the cross and place our sins on Christ Jesus. This, my friends, came out of God's reckless love for us at an extravagant cost. The extravagant cost being his only son, Jesus Christ. He is the only way. It's neither the track of being good or bad. Neither of these ways are going to make it, but it's this third way, which is faith alone in Christ alone, which is accepting Christ, that he's done what you cannot do, that he's paid the price for your salvation. Is this true for you? Is it Christ alone? Tim Keller writes in his book called The Prodigal God that more churches are known to have more older brother types than younger brother types. That often our ministry isn't exactly the same ministry of Jesus. Jesus had a ministry not dining with the older moralistic brother, but his ministry was to the younger brothers, bringing them the message of himself, showing them his great power and might to save. And it's not an easy question to ask. Is our ministry bringing the news of God's grace, God's free forgiveness in Christ Jesus, the message of great hope, the message of such love, the message that could be such great news to the younger brothers? I know for me, it's often easy to fall in the basket of the older brother, look around and wipe the younger brothers off in my moralistic thinking. But it's not the ministry of Jesus. Now, chances are you may be one of these characters in the story. Either a younger brother, but look, don't get content in the pigsty. Turn to Jesus. He's where the real party's at. Or perhaps today, here today, you're an older brother type. Look down, look. Just don't get caught in the judgmental lifestyle. Jesus offers you the party as well. Turn to Jesus always. Well, let's pray together now that our ministry as a church family would be that of Christ Jesus, that it would be the message of Jesus Christ. Dear Father, we give such thanks to you that you have allowed us into your kingdom, into your presence through the work of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord Father, we ask that we would continually be reminded that we can only know you by faith alone in Christ alone. We also ask, Father, that for some of us that can't quite grasp what it means to be saved by your grace, that you would be at work for them to see that it's knowing your Son alone. Amen.